So Marc Maron took podcasting up to a new level, evidently.
I heard.
So this week, for next week's show, I'm going to try to have Angela Merkel come on the show and say the N-word.
Is that the cold open? All right.
Let's
do a good cold open. Starting now, mm-hmm. Let's do a good one.
You start then.
Okay. Now.
No, I am rolling. You can go ahead.
Okay, wait. Now.
I'm just saying I took us down the path that I thought was entertaining.
Wait. Now.
But then you have to talk.
No, that's good. It's just that.
If you say so.
Okay.
There you go. We'll use that. That's to me, that comedically, that is more offensive than the N-word.
See, and you can add that at the end.
I am going to. Welcome to episode 234 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me, as always, is...
Oh, Adam.
Did I lose you?
No, I was just waiting for, like, the build-up, like the,
okay.
The intensity to build, maybe?
You were being fashionably late.
The drama.
Yeah. I'm not one of those guys who can just... leave people hanging like that in life. Like, no. I know you're doing it for effect here. Can you do that in life when, like, people are expecting you or waiting for you to come out? Or, like, if someone shows up to pick you up to go somewhere, can you let them just sit in the car for 5 minutes outside?
No, I can't. No. It makes me feel super uncomfortable.
Yeah, I have to go give them the wave, like, hey, yeah, I acknowledge your existence. I'm still going to be 5 minutes late, though.
Yeah. I work in a profession where time and other people's time is always of the utmost importance. So that has a spillover to everyday life. It just has to.
You're the one. Because anything in the medical profession.
Okay.
I think you can go ahead and assume, like, if you make a doctor's appointment.
Yes.
How long can you assume that you'll be waiting? If you have a 9:30 appointment, what time do you expect to see the doctor in general?
I think it figure on at least 30 to 45 minutes after your appointment time. Yeah, would be probably my assumption going in.
Yes.
I'd be pleasantly surprised if I only waited 10 or 15 minutes.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. And I know it's kind of, you know, been like a long, been oft covered joke. I mean, it's called the waiting room. So it's you know, that's what you're going to do.
Right.
I believe it's an entire Seinfeld episode based on that. But you're the one who says, no, 9:30 means 9:29 and a half. Get in here.
Yeah, and I think that's largely my profession, too. I think 15 minutes to wait in your physiotherapist office before your therapist is ready would be a long time. So I think it's just there's a different expectation, so...
So what you're saying is every medical emergency that people have, they should just come and see a physiotherapist.
maybe not that. I just am very time conscious, and I feel like that's also just part of my everyday life. And I don't know if working in a profession has made it that way, or if I was always. I think I was largely always that way, but it really has become sort of more deeply ingrained with the kind of work I do. But I always feel like if I show up to a restaurant and I'm the last one there, I would feel bad. So I'm always almost, you know, 10 minutes early just so that I make sure that doesn't happen. Yeah. I go the other way.
Sure. Overcompensating. We all do that.
Yeah. But I mean, in a lateness, I can't honestly remember being late for anything. Wow. I'm going to go that far. I cannot remember the last time I was late for anything.
Hmm. Okay. We're actually done with this conversation now.
Would you like me to state that in a different way?
No, no, you're fine. I'm not saying it's nothing to do with you. I just have no silky segue into Amazon.
Oh. Yes.
Buy your timepieces, as I did. I bought a watch on Amazon a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Love it.
Okay.
I'm a watch guy all of a sudden.
What'd you get? What kind of watch did you get?
Just like a relatively cheap chronograph.
Okay.
Yeah. It was about it was under $200.
Okay.
But
and now you keep time.
Now I do. I'm constantly aware of the time. I never used to be. I never used to care. And the times I did have to care, I'd have to like bring my iPod or something that had a camera built into it. And I didn't want to do that anymore.
Okay.
In the effort of making my life far more analog, Grandpa, I bought an analog watch.
Did you click through our site when you bought it?
Of course I did.
Okay, then.
Yeah, so I bought four of them. Just to make the
fourth one was free, though.
You're making money at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Off mic, I gave you an update already. My leg's going to be okay.
Okay.
I went and saw the doctor finally. I'm not a go to see the doctor kind of guy. But I had no choice. After we recorded last week, I had no choice. It flared up, and I went to the doctor, and he said, "Yeah, get out of here. You're fine." No, I've been back three times, but I had to sat out last week, and we'll play tomorrow. That's the update.
Great. Can't wait for your return.
We're playing in a city called Mannheim. You may have heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where we're going to play on the road tomorrow. So I intend on putting the man in Mannheim.
Great.
Mm-hmm. So my daughter went to, we call it kindergarten. We've been over this before. It's like preschool, but
right.
It's called kindergarten here because they invented kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
The Germans, I mean. And she said, "Daddy, I want to take my camera." She has a little point and shoot that it's not like a kid's one. It's basically just an old one of mine that really got very little use. I think it came free when I bought my laptop 7 years ago. Whenever I bought that, and it was like they threw in a part of the package was they're going to throw in a bunch of stuff that they can't sell
mm-hmm.
in normally. And so one of the things was this really cheap little Kodak point and shoot camera. Never used it, you know, barely used it at all. So I just gave it to her and put a little strap on it, and she gets to play with it. And she actually takes photos.
Okay.
Daddy, I want to take it to kindergarten with me. Okay, of course you can. So she takes it, and then, of course, the teachers are like, "Oh, geez, you know, like, what if it breaks? What if it breaks?" No problem. Go crazy, right? So for 2 days, she takes it, and then on the second day, I get the notice that, oh, yeah, technically cameras are allowed, the kids are allowed to bring them, but you have to delete the contents at the end of each day.
Mm.
Because we can't have out of focus motion blur photos of kids' feet. It's a slippery slope, Adam.
Right. Yeah.
So this is my wife told me this. I wasn't there when this happened. Like, I was not told this by the teacher personally.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm glad, because my initial reaction was WTF.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? But then I suppose in you know, sober second thought, I thought, well, I suppose, you know, kids don't know, they could wander into the bathroom or something, and I don't know. I can't imagine it really being an issue.
Right.
But we're at the point where it is a rule. A rule has been made, and thus, that's the way it's going to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, good times.
Yeah. I don't know what to say about that. It seems pretty ridiculous, but it also doesn't surprise me, because there seems to be make rules first, think about them second.
Yeah. I could understand if I was hanging around with my camera. I guess, but, you know, not me, because people would be excited because, oh, wow, we're all going to get good pictures out of the deal. But if I, you know, saw some dude hanging around, I guess I would wonder. I don't know. So I guess the rule is in place for that, but all of a sudden, you know, my 3-year-old, she can't snap photos.
Right.
So we've been over this. This is a topic we've been over. But the one other thing that was part of the deal was I told her, listen, only take pictures outside. Don't take pictures inside, okay? Because there's kids who are like one year olds in the kindergarten. Like it's from 1 to 6 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I took some duct tape and taped over the flash, so she wouldn't blast any kid in the face. Well, I looked at the roll the first day after she got home, and there's about 100 photos of basically the dark that she just took inside. And then I noticed that I guess one of the instructors had peeled the tape off and said, "Oh no, there's a problem here. Take the tape's in the way." And so then the rest were all flash photos,
right,
of kids' irises from up close. So, yeah.
There you go. All right.
So that was the kindy story. Frederick, one of our listeners,
okay,
says you might be able to reset your trigger, the one your trigger that does not work.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to reset that.
It's not that it doesn't work; it doesn't work reliably.
You might be able to reset that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I at one point I had looked into it, and I may have even tried it, but again, I have a situation where I don't really need to set off 4 flashes at once, so it's not really on the high priority list. If I were to have one of the other ones go down, then for sure it would be, but right now it's basically just an extra trigger.
Thanks for wasting all of our time, Frederick.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So no, I understand, and actually, I did pull out the manual, and I do know that there is a way to reset it, and I have done it once before in the past. I don't remember exactly which buttons you have to hold down and press, but there is a way to reset it. But yeah, right now I just found one was unreliable, and so that one sort of has been taken out of the rotation.
I think what I would consider doing is just find somebody who's you're friendly with, but not really good friends with, sort of in that kind of middle zone, and just let them hold on to it for a second. And when they hand it back to you, just go, "What did you do?"
Yeah,
and guilt them into buying you a new one.
Yeah, I figure it'll just sit in my cupboard until I basically drop one into the ocean, and then I'll be forced to problem solve it.
Good thinking.
Yeah, that's kind of how I go through life. Is like it's in a bag somewhere. At some point, it will get pulled out, and then I will deal with it at a later point. Because dealing with it now, it won't mean anything to me, because it's still going to get put back in that cupboard for the next probably 6 months to a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, we had a note, Brian. You already answered this, but I wanted to maybe you could talk about it quickly on the air, Brian. He's in the market for a new camera, and he wants to know if you are still in love with your 6D.
What do you think?
I think you are.
I am.
Yeah, so go ahead and buy the 6D now. I think we're gonna do an upcoming episode about DSLR versus Micro Four Thirds versus all the other, what's next for cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And, the question will be, is DSLR going to live forever? But for now, for the foreseeable future, yeah, I would look at buying a 6D. You can always sit and wait for the 6D Mark II to come out, or whatever, but
it really depends. I think the first question you have to ask yourself is, do you really want a full frame camera? And so if you don't really want or feel that you need a full frame camera, then there's lots of other good quality, crop sensor DSLRs out there for substantially less money. And you've also talked in the past about, are you willing to buy used, because you can pick up for under $500 like you did, one of those 5D classics. So there's other options out there. The 6D is kind of a nice happy medium. It's not going to cost you $3,000. It's going to cost you about $1,500, and it can do everything that you will ever need to do, unless you are going to shoot downhill skiing, or you need to shoot like some super high frame rate that you need, 8 frames per second. Well, then. That's not the camera for you. If you're into portraits, it will do everything you need and more. But yeah, if you're shooting action sports, I would go a different direction. I would even buy a 7D if that was the case. I would buy a 70 if you wanted a sports photography camera and you didn't want to spend, you know, $3,000.
Right.
So figure it out.
Here. I still recommend people check out the 5D Classic, even though it's now, what, 12 years old or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm actually thinking about at some point maybe picking one up when I phase out my Canon T2i, mm-hmm. Which one day will come. It's still doing what I need it to do now, but it certainly is inferior in the image quality department to the 5D Classic. I'm thinking of that being a good backup camera, because then everything can, you know, easily be interchangeable in terms of what the images will look like. It's easier to, if I was taking two camera bodies, to deal with two very like camera bodies versus, you know, mm-hmm. the crop sensor and the full frame thing, and figuring out when I'm going back and forth between cameras what lenses to have on. It's an easier transition with two full frames.
Yep. A clunky camera to use, and you might be disappointed or really taken aback at the beginning, thinking, "Oh my God, what did I do?" But once you get past that, love it. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I didn't.
No,
I didn't. The camera out. I had no camera out since last weekend when I took my photo challenge picture. So been a really busy week, and last week of school for the kids. So camera has not been a part of it.
You're right. No, I feel the same way. I'm surprised. Again, we didn't have, and this is a spoiler alert for my photo challenge, we actually didn't have summer this week. Summer left. Summer actually went on vacation itself. So we had cold weather, like terrible weather all week, and so it was, really wasn't conducive to taking pictures. But I did take a photo of my daughter for her birthday invitation to send to her friends at the no photo kindergarten.
Okay.
And that was interesting. That was basically I had something in mind. I wanted to do like a green screen kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't really have a green screen. And when I say I don't really, I mean I don't at all have a green screen. But I had something in mind, very specific in mind. Like I was going to have, in Photoshop, I was going to have a giant number 4 that she would then lean against.
Okay.
So I had to have her lean against the wall and kind of figure out that. And how do you light that? And then basically cut her out later. And she is, you know, turning 4, and you remember what that's like.
Not really.
With your daughter? No, wasn't that the point where she no longer wanted her photo taken?
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and tell you yes, because okay. I'm relating to what you were talking about at this point.
Okay.
So, yeah, so did all that, and finally convinced her that, you know, to take the photo, and then she actually wanted to be part of the Photoshop process.
Okay.
Which means basically just smashing my mouse elbow every time I'm trying to cut her out of the background, and she's just like, daddy, oh no. So finally, you know, got it done, but the one rub was she wouldn't let me put her hair back in a really good tight ponytail.
Oh, that's not good.
No. So that means extra work in Photoshop. So
yeah.
In the end, it all worked out, but wow, it was way more work than I anticipated. Won't be doing that again.
Yeah, and that has been an issue for me in the past, and that's where actually shooting it on a green screen makes it easier. And certainly, you know, boys' hair or wearing a hat makes this whole process much easier, because mm-hmm. there's no work involved. I always remember Sarah and having sort of like, you know, crazier hair that goes every which way. Like your daughter's hair is very straight, right?
Right.
So I could see in the right situation with a ponytail, this being problem solved. But Sarah's hair was always a little bit curly when she was younger, and so there's always the little gaps in the hair, and mm-hmm. trying to fix that in Photoshop was a giant pain in the butt. So putting it a ponytail is a must.
Just saying, I'm not doing that again.
Or never do it again.
Yes. I will go ahead and that's it. From now on, it's just going to be handwritten. Handwritten birthday invitations. There you go, great kid. Good
there
for you.
Go.
Or we shave your head. It's up to you. Your call. Yeah. Your call. Photo challenge this week was summer. And as I said, whoops, didn't have one. But still shot it anyways. That's how we do it here.
Okay.
Who's going first, me or you?
It doesn't matter. You go first.
Okay, here's mine.
Okay.
No, you talk.
I feel like you've done this exact photo before.
I have done this exact photo before, and that's on purpose.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all. Do you recognize it? I did it with myself.
Yes, it was a photo of you. Same towel, same background, same lighting, right? Just off center. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, what was it for when you did it? Was for was it a summer? Was it for summer or was it for something else?
I don't remember the name, the title.
It was a challenge, though, right?
Yes, it was a challenge. So I've actually gone ahead and put it in the folder, so you can compare them side by side if you like.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I knew. I see. I don't remember. Yeah, what was the challenge for that one? I can't recall exactly. What's in your sunglasses?
That's Bondi Beach.
Okay.
And I didn't have the time, and also, again, with the hair, my daughter's hair is covering the left side of her glasses.
Yeah.
And thus, that was going to be ridiculously difficult for me to get in and do a good job of compositing the Bondi Beach photo in.
Right.
That's the Bondi Beach Life Saving Club, like the lifeguard station, which is a pretty cool sign. And so I was going to do that with hers, but then ultimately I was like, wow. Again, this photo of my daughter is significant in that it's probably the last one I'm ever going to take.
Okay.
Yeah. So, last known photograph. But again, the comparison. I wanted to do the exact same photo. It's got the exact same towel, similar T-shirt. She doesn't have a plain white T-shirt. Sunglasses on. The one difference being that mine is shot inside.
Okay.
This is inside our old apartment with a flash, and the one on the my daughter is actually it's with a flash, but it's outside. We don't actually have any real space where we can shoot against a white wall inside anymore. So we went outside and shot this, and I'm not that happy with it. It doesn't, for some reason, it doesn't look like sunshine to me.
Yeah, I agree. I do like the photo. When I look at the one of you side by side with the one of her, because I would prefer to look at her than you.
Mm.
I want to like the one of her better, except for I actually like the photo of you better if I'm comparing them. And I'm not sure why. It's probably just the way the lighting is.
Yes.
And it's a little bit off-putting with the way her hair is over the glasses and the face.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's just the lighting, and maybe it's the color, the temperature as well. Like yours is a little bit warmer than hers. Hers is a little bit bluer.
That might be. I was going to basically go through and do it again. I didn't have time before I started the show. I even threw the quarter black Pro Mist on for both shots. I'm pretty sure this is a quarter black. It depends. I'm not sure which lens I used for mine. I'm guessing it was the 70-200. It might have been the 85.
Okay.
With her, I used the 70-200 with the quarter black Pro Mist just to kind of bring up the shadows a bit. Her shadows are a little bit darker, a little more contrasty than mine, which I tried to correct, and then I lose the kind of the white background. Doesn't pop anymore. It kind of. So I don't know. It was really difficult to recreate. Again, also I had, you know, three chances at this before she ran off, and
yeah,
it was done. But that's not really an excuse. I should be able to recreate this pretty quickly. So anyway, that was my summer. I wanted to basically create, you know, that kind of burned out look. Don't think I did.
Yeah, it's a near miss.
Oh yes, it's definitely a miss. But
it's not. I think you're being overly critical of it. I mean, it's sort of accomplished. Like we're a year removed from the other photo, and it's a photo that we did for a challenge and spent 3 to 5 minutes talking about a year ago. And I remembered instantly when I saw the color combination. So I think to some degree, mission accomplished, because I knew I'd seen this photo before and I remembered that it was a photo of you, not her. So all of those things from the photo says that you did a pretty good job recreating
it. I'm going to blow your mind. It was 2 years ago.
Well, there you go. 2 years ago. So there you go. Cause all right. I pulled it up and knew. So
there's summer. I'm going to do a better job of recreating that photo. I'm actually never going to do it again, but
okay.
Maybe in 2 more years, maybe Let's talk in 2017.
Okay.
And we'll see. Now, here's yours. Now, very similar photo.
Yeah.
With your daughter, sunglasses and all that. Much more summery. I like yours much better right out of the gate.
I tried to do kind of like what you had done in the photo of yourself, which was create a reflection that also had another element to the summer. So I don't know if it's not as clear as obviously the one in your reflection of your sunglasses, but can you see what's in the reflection of her sunglasses?
I cannot.
Oh, it's the little kiddie pool. So she got her feet up on the little kiddie pool.
Ah,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so that was meant to be kind of like a little extra nugget there. Mm-hmm. That if you looked at it long enough, you'd see that there's the kiddie pool and her feet are up on the edge of the kiddie pool. And the other side, you just see the reflection of her popsicle and her glasses. So there you go.
No, I like what's going on here. You got like a lot of colors. And even though it's a tight shot, it's pretty clear what's going on here. Which I like. I mean, you don't show a lot of context, but this definitely is summer. That she's lounging, you guys. The popsicle, she had like the enough of the chair to say yes, this is what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it. And did you? This is daylight with a flash added, or?
No, this is daylight with a reflector.
Reflector.
Yeah,
even better.
Didn't want the reflector to show up in her sunglasses, so my wife is holding this camera left just up at an angle to kind of even out the light on her face and on her hair. So
mm-hmm.
you get a pretty nice even light. I love that reflector because this was like right dead in the middle of the day. So
yes,
can only achieve this with the bounce, or I guess with the flash. But I wasn't doing that. Again, she was not going to play along for very long.
Right. No, I fully agree. And no, reflector is the way to go. Love it in this case.
Well, thank you.
It's one of those ones though. Are you going to carry it when you go to the beach? Probably not.
No.
It would be nice if it folded up even tighter.
Yeah, and also it's not even so much that it's light, and I could easily, but you look like a pretty big jerk when you're waving that thing around at the beach, and I just don't want to have to explain it to strangers, nor do I want to really be that guy. This was taken directly out front of my house, so we put mm-hmm. the kiddie pool on the lawn. There's the green behind her is like our neighbor's like kind of bushes. And I thought, perfect. This is exactly the amount of space to get kind of just a pretty neutral background. I'm shooting this at, like, I want to say somewhere close to an F2. And so that even the popsicle, like, which is, you know, I don't know, 6 inches from her face is out of focus. And so is her lead hand. So it's a really narrow depth of field. And I wanted that just to create sort of the green backdrop that was non-distracting. And like you said, I tried to just have enough of that chair so you'd know it was a lounge chair, but mm-hmm. and just have it not be sort of something that takes over or dominates the photo.
And did you choose her shirt, or was she just wearing that?
She was just wearing that, and I wasn't even going to, like, I thought the shirt was fine, but I wasn't going to think about getting something more summery or anything like that.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's summery. I mean, it's a white shirt. I mean, it's pretty
yeah,
basic.
Yeah, yeah.
And the sunglasses... Was she wearing them, or you definitely said, hey, you need these?
I said grab sunglasses.
Okay.
Yeah. And also knowing at what time of day it was and the fact that I was going to be bouncing some light, I just thought it would be way too hard if she wasn't wearing sunglasses.
Mm-hmm. No. Nope.
But it also says summer, so it was all part of the pieces of the puzzle.
That is a great way to put it. And we're going to talk about that in a future episode too, man. A lot of spoilers, a lot of teasers this week.
Wow.
But the pieces of the puzzle, I have to write that down because I've never considered what we're going to talk about. I've never considered it in that fashion. It's a difficult thing to explain. So, boom, Adam just nailed it. Now, point of pride for me.
Yeah.
Well, of my kid. Those reflectors, the kind of the funnest part of those reflectors is watching newbies try to fold them. Because they can't do it.
I've been there.
Even though you show them how to do it, they can't do it. Right?
Yes.
So when we were in Vancouver last year, one of the things that, one of the little knickknacks that we were given at a parade or something like that was a little ridiculously simple thing, like a portable Frisbee, which all Frisbees are portable, technically. But we were given a cloth. Emily was given a cloth Frisbee that folds up like a reflector.
Okay.
So when it pops out, it's probably, I don't know, a foot across. Okay. Maybe even less. Somewhere between 20 centimeters and 30 centimeters across.
Okay.
But it folds up like a reflector, so it's basically, you know, whatever that becomes, 6 centimeters across. So it's very small.
Sure.
So my son loves, I showed him how to basically take it in your hand and then throw it, and then it pops open like a magic trick, right?
Yeah.
My 4-year-old daughter figured out how to fold that thing up.
Okay.
So I'm very excited for her because she's really one step away from being my reflector person.
She's on her way.
She's on her way. She can fold that reflector up. So I'm very, very thrilled with that. Okay, that's a point of pride just for me.
Okay, you want to hear a point of pride that I had?
Yes.
So I was talking to Sarah before we took the photo that I actually, you know, just used. I said, okay, I want to take a summer photo. You know, what do you want to do here? And just seeing like what she would be up for. And she said, how about you take a picture of me playing with the beach ball in front of the green screen and then Photoshop the beach?
Just like when you were a kid.
Yeah, I'm just like, wow, you kind of know how this all works, right? Yeah, she's used the words green screen, Photoshop, and knew the magic that if I wanted to, I could take that photo and then turn it into her at the beach. And I said, I kind of just did a green screen thing for the last challenge, so I feel like it is summer. We should be able to do something without the green screen. So I had to talk her down from the green screen cliff there.
Wow.
Yeah, but that was her idea.
That is, it's impressive, and I'm going to say a little bit scary. Yeah. Do you want to go to Disneyland this year, kids? No, just green screen it, Dad.
Yeah, yeah. Just make it look like we were there.
Put me on the Matterhorn. Okay, moving on. Yeah. And if you could just shave 20 or 30 pounds off me while in the process, yeah, that would be great. I would like that. I look a little bit heavy. That's where we're at.
That's where we're going.
Yeah. Wonderful. Good. It is pretty impressive, though, that she gets that. I mean, most adults, when they saw Superman in 1978, just went, wow, that guy can fly.
Yeah, where'd they find a guy that can fly like that?
Although, ironically, that was blue screened.
Okay.
And he has a blue outfit.
That's a problem.
Yeah, so I think there were some issues there. That might have been when the green screen was brought in, but there was some blue. Back then, it used to be called blue screen. Hence, because it was the blue background.
Right, yeah. Yes.
So, anyways, this week's topic. This one I've been thinking about for a while. Just gonna come out and say it. It's album covers.
Okay.
I want to talk about album covers because I guess it's a lost art, and it has been for a long time. I'm not gonna say like the bulk of my life was spent listening to albums, and I don't listen to albums. We do have, you know, a record player in the basement that occasionally will get out. But it's not quite like it used to be, obviously. But when I was... How old were you when CDs sort of became accessible?
High school. So I don't know.
Oh, before then, I hope.
No, I'm pretty sure it was high school for me.
You're younger than me.
Yeah, I'm younger than you.
Yeah, so I mean, for me, I think for me it was junior high. About 19... I think we got a CD player around 1987 or 88.
Okay.
Maybe it was 1990. You might be right. It might have been around 1990, which would have put you in junior high or something like that.
That would put me in high school.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm born in 76. In 1990, I would be 14.
Okay, so for us on the West Coast, that's junior high. For you, obviously high school. So there you go. So it's about that time, or around the late 80s, early 90s, is when CDs sort of became the norm. Because up to then, it was like a high value, a high dollar item that only a few people had. But then all of a sudden, boom, it went. Now they tried to basically transfer the idea of album art from the LP just right to the CD But for some reason, to me, anyways, and for a lot of people, it just doesn't translate. Much smaller in that ugly jewel case. You know, like, it's just terrible looking. Like, if some bands would eventually, you know, try to put out cool looking CD cases, like paper ones or something like that, that replicated that feel of the album, but much, much smaller. But invariably, that would just kind of, you know, be a problem in your CD case. Like, it wouldn't fit or something like that. So, anyway, so back in the day, album covers were kind of awesome. And there are some iconic ones that you just really, really remember. But so I thought about it. I thought about the photography angle, because some of them are graphics, but I like the photography ones that really speak to you, that kind of make you think, wow, like, that's really great.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it about albums that make them so great?
Are you going to tell me?
What an open question. I feel like I could have closed that question off a little bit and got a straight answer out of you. I like the format. I like the format. How big are they? How big is that? I actually don't know. I think it's 12. Is it 12 inches?
I would even think maybe even a little bit bigger.
I guess I probably should have checked this out before we started rolling.
Yeah, I don't know the answer, but I'm going to say at least 12 inches.
Right. So that's a great size. Now, the other thing is, it's square. So it's kind of an awesome format. It's a format that we don't normally shoot these days.
Okay.
Everything is 4x3 if you have a Micro Four Thirds, or, you know, HD is 16x9 in terms of video, or you have like a 3:2 aspect ratio if you're shooting with a DSLR. But album covers are square, and there's something kind of awesome about that. So that's what one of the things I like, square and large. That's all you have to do. The rest of it's academic.
Okay.
No. What makes a great album cover photo?
I don't know. Something that you remember. That, I mean, the way I looked at it as when you said, okay, you know, pick some of your favorite album covers, I went with ones that were memorable to me. Now, they could be memorable for lots of different reasons. In most cases, it was because those were albums that were around my house, so I saw them every day, like you would see, you know, a photo of yourself on the wall, right? So mm-hmm. when you see something enough in your own mind anyways, especially when you're young, is it becomes iconic in its own way to you. So that, to me, it's more about repetition than it is about, when I look back at some of those photos and some of my favorite ones, I look back at it and they're very memorable, but not because they're necessarily fantastic pictures. I mean, some of them might be, but really it's because it's repetition. It's like brainwash. It's like when you watch the same commercial 8,000 times, it sticks with you.
You do want to buy Menin.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, there is, okay, in that respect, there is a certain genius built into the buy Menin part of it, but a terrible album cover isn't going to resonate with you, you're not going to bother repeating it. Like, even though you see it all the time.
But if you like the music, yeah, see, I would argue that if you like the music and you have that CD, you're going to see it, you know, back in those days, thousands of times, you're gonna come across that CD. So, yeah, it is going to become sort of like a mental picture that stays with you. So when I was looking up pictures, I was like, wow, like it brought back, like, I mean, a whole bunch of memories, not just related to the music, but other things associated with the times and people that you knew, and just from looking at that photo. And that's what's kind of cool about album covers, is it's not just the photo itself, but all the things that you attach to that. Now with digital music, it's just not the same.
I agree. I like that connection. Like, to me, that's kind of what ultimately I try to achieve when you take photos, is to make that sort of connection to your feelings, to your sense memory, and, you know, what it smelled like that day. Like, we've talked about that before, and sort of take you back to that moment. Now, part of the deal is that we, with our photos, we basically look at our photos immediately after taking them. There is no lag time.
Mm-hmm.
Where, I mean, obviously with film, there's a built-in lag time, usually at least a month, you know, for the regular just snapshot people. Mm-hmm. But even then, a lot of it, because there was no way to share it, it would kind of just go in the photo album, and you'd see it a year later or plus. And now you're looking at pictures from 30 years ago, and you kind of get that feeling. you know, that I get from seeing album covers, because you have that connection.
Right.
So for me, I like the fact that generally a good album cover tells a story. It just in one photo. It can introduce you to the band, like tell you a lot about the band. It might not, but it can. But let's have a look at some of the ones that you picked out that resonated with you.
Okay.
Starting right at the top. So I got, I'm looking at Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
What's going on here? What made you think of this? Was this just around your house?
This was one of the ones around my house. And I did like Queen, and I did like this album, but it's just a kind of one of those pictures that it seems like a type of picture that you saw taken quite a lot from this time period. I don't know what year that this came out. So we'd have to look it up, or maybe you know what year this album was out. But I have a portrait taken at a similar time, maybe within a year or two, when I was a kid. So I'm going to say late 70s, taken in the very same fashion with my brother and I, with basically a similar thing, looking up and all black in behind us. And it was taken at a studio. And it speaks to me the time of the way a portrait was taken. You don't see this kind of portrait taken anymore, but it seems like a very 70s, late 70s, early 80s-ish type of portrait.
Mm-hmm. Looks like kind of like a quite a bit of top lighting, and the eyes just left to go black.
Yeah.
Technically, we would look at this and go, "Oh, fail." Yeah. You know, now, but it does. That is one that sticks out. Like with the faces coming out of the darkness and all that. That is one that's going to grab you on the shelves. Next one's actually one that I was going to pick, but I didn't. I didn't want to go for a best of, just for no real good reason. But I had this poster on my wall of Jim Morrison.
Yeah, this is one of those that everybody knows this picture.
Yes.
You know,
with
like
Lizard King.
It's an iconic white background kind of photo. I think probably one of those pictures that anyone 10 years younger than us, and definitely 30 years older than us, probably could pick this picture out and know exactly who this is. So,
yeah.
And again, this particular one of Jim Morrison is probably the most popular picture of him. I'm gonna wage to say ever taken.
And I would suggest the same, but like photographically, especially now, really quite easy to duplicate.
Yes, like, absolutely.
Technically, I mean, in terms of, you know, what's going on with you know, Mr. Mojo Rising there, that's hard to do because he has a certain, I don't know, persona that you're going to be difficult to duplicate. But lighting wise, no problem. Yet this one really sticks out. So this is one of my favorites. Let's load up a few of mine as well, and okay. See where I went. The first one's very cliche, but it's pretty cool for me. It's Abbey Road.
Yeah,
really been beat up, you know, and sort of imitated to death. But I'm wondering at the time when it first came out, besides the whole, you know, is Paul dead? Why is he barefoot? All that controversy. Was this an iconic one right out of the gate? I would suggest no. It's probably just a relatively simple photo.
It's a very simple photo. Like, yeah. I don't think they did anything here but just snap a photo. Do you think there's any lighting going on here?
No, I think this is just the sunlight.
Yeah.
I've actually been here a couple of years ago. I've been to the Abbey Road Studios, and because Abbey Road Studios is off in the back where those guys are standing in the background.
Yeah.
And so this crosswalk is still there. And as you can imagine, people flock to it.
Yeah. Everybody takes their photo, but I'm even looking at it going, I mean, they didn't even bother to kind of, you know, clear the street a little bit for this.
No.
You know, no,
and everybody's and, parked on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah, and yeah, that too. But also, even the placement of that Volkswagen Bug on the left of the frame, it's like, you know, it's wildly distracting as you know, as subject matter. And you think, okay, these are the Beatles. Like, wouldn't they have just moved that car kind of out of the frame a little bit, like down the road a little way? So, it is a very ordinary looking photograph. But again, you're it. because of the music and the popularity, and like you say, the reps, the motor memory is there because we've seen it a million times and it becomes iconic, I think, from repetition, not because it's really that good of a photo.
Correct. Next one I picked was way more contemporary.
Okay.
And this was just from a few years ago. Adele came out with Adele 21, the album. Mm-hmm. I love the photo on the cover. And how simple is this? Was this one light, do you think?
Looks like it.
Looks like one light in a softbox. That's all. Like, it's really all it is. But it's just so understated and very simple that I guarantee you this will... I can't really guarantee you, can I? But I will suggest that this one will be remembered for a long time. I mean, also because it happens to be a great album, so there is that connection. But just a very, very simple process.
Yes.
Okay, let's look at yours. Next one you got is Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Yes. Again, another one that was around my house as a kid. But I just like the composition of it. It's memorable to me because of the composition and because of Garfunkel's hair. looks like he always reminded me of the guy from The Greatest American Hero. You know,
William, what's his name? Yeah.
The superhero show where the guy always crashed into everything. But no, it's just such an off-putting composition and pose with, you know, the guy standing like right over top of him, almost making Paul Simon's hair look like a giant handlebar mustache on Garfunkel. but such a memorable photo and a fantastic album. I don't know if you call this folk or whatever you want to call this kind of music, but I love Simon Garfunkel mostly because my dad played it like every day of my life growing up. So it just, again, becomes part of your growing up and happy memories. But this particular album cover compared to any other Simon and Garfunkel, because we had all of them, this album cover is the most memorable to me.
And I wonder if this was foreshadowing at the time, because this is not long after this, Paul Simon went his own way.
Yeah, probably because he thought he was standing too close to him in this photo.
No, but I just mean he's standing in front. He's the main focus, and Garfunkel's kind of in the back and irrelevant, and that's kind of what...
The dynamics were,
That was the dynamic of what the relationship was.
Feel like maybe this is the start of when the photobomb came in. Like, it was probably like, hey, Paul Simon, we're going to take your shot for the album, and then Garfunkel just kind of walked in behind him and made the funny face.
Right. Okay, the next one you have is ZZ Top's Eliminator. Also sticks with me, but not a photo.
Okay.
So, example of what's not a photo. But I had this album as well.
I just love that. I just love that album. And so, I threw that in there because, again, I kind of got that it was photos after I picked that one. I'm like, I'm leaving it in.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Oh, the one that I wanted to mention, again, that probably a lot of people don't know this cover. I guess it depends on when you were born and what kind of music you like, but is the Neil Diamond Hot August Night photo.
I wanted to know why Neil Diamond had Peter Frampton on the cover.
You know what made me think of this album in particular was the photo that I did of Sarah. Like, it just the backlighting and the red on his hair and just the on stage album cover. And so that's why. And again, this was another one laying around the house that I just remembered so clearly. So as soon as you said that, I didn't know that like exactly what album it was, but I started typing in Neil Diamond album covers because I knew that there was one I was thinking of particularly, and this was the one.
Love this one. And this is, I mean, I love the fact that Beyonce would never let this happen.
Yeah. Like, what's he doing there?
I'm assuming he's playing air sax. is what all I can assume. But, I mean, this is definitely a hot August night. There's no question. So I do, I love what's going on. Now, I'm not familiar with this album cover because this is not one of the 2000 Neil Diamond LPs that my folks had.
Right.
But they had them too. They also had them. So my next one was, I picked a couple of Bob Dylan ones because he is iconic. He is an iconic, guy from the 60s, and, you know, his album covers were, you know, memorable. And also he was in Tübingen a couple days ago.
Okay.
Which is weird. He actually played Tübingen, which is kind of odd for a pretty small town. P.S. I did not go to the concert because I was told ahead of time that his concerts are terrible.
Okay.
And he did not disappoint in the terrible department.
Really?
Yeah. But anyways, but you know, 1960s Bob Dylan. This is a great photo. I think it's just in Greenwich Village. I've been there. So that's, it looks like to me.
We're looking at the freewheeling one.
The freewheeling Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Just a snapshot. I think it's kind of, to me, echoes a little bit of James Dean, and like a certain New York City James Dean photo. Yes, I got my kids in here now. As a heads up.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
We're gonna wave to Mama. So yeah, so very, very, very simple photograph. Yet this is one of the ones that is iconic. And then same with Highway 61 Revisited. If I showed you this photo in my photo album, you'd ask, "What are you doing showing me this?"
Right.
Why is this a thing? You know, this isn't.
I agree.
But yet it becomes a thing. Okay, hang on a sec. I'm gonna have to cut right here. Hey guys, I'm gonna finish the show. Okay. So you guys can go ahead and look. Mama's gone. Okay. So, yeah. So just basically, this was actually staged. Not just a snapshot. He had the guy in the background with the camera. Yet, it's an iconic photo. You know, and there are things going on that... this is a good podcast, isn't it?
There are things going on, yep.
Yeah. In the background called, my son wants his shoes on. No, but he's holding his. I assume those are Ray-Bans he's holding. Like the T-shirt was a choice, and all these things, despite the fact it looks like a snapshot you'd never keep, these were all a choice.
Right.
So again, don't know if I'd keep this photo if I took it, but it's become iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua Tree, that's a great one. Why do you like that one so much?
Because I loved you too at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this was my favorite U2 album, and the picture itself, it's again, it's the composition that I kind of like. It's just, it's so far off what I would typically do myself.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's looking kind of, well, I think the fact that the Bono's looking completely in the other direction of everybody else, like, mm-hmm. it's
no glasses.
Yeah, no glasses, but it's the fact that everyone's looking straight ahead and he's looking completely in the opposite, or not the opposite, but 180 degrees, what do you want, 90 degrees in a different direction. And it's so off-putting, it's so uncomfortable, but yet it just works for some reason.
Is it also because the edge is standing on the edge?
Maybe.
That's part of it. I like the fact that it's like a widescreen movie kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
And this, to me, I think Joshua Tree came just on the heels of Rattle and Hum. I remember correctly?
Yes,
do I?
Yes, I believe so. I think,
and so
it was
that
just
was the widescreen movie. They had the big, you know, concert movie.
Concert movie, yeah.
So I'm imagining that they were kind of looking at this in through those glasses, like, okay, let's do something cinematic. We're going to be at Joshua Tree at the park. So we have this wide, you know, so I think it works great. It's a great use of the square format, but within you have that cinematic look. Another one that I was really thrilled you picked, I'm surprised I didn't, was Pearl Jam's 10. Pearl Jam's 10 that's a great album cover.
I agree.
I
love Pearl Jam. So
yeah,
and again, it's kind of an interesting composition because you could just have the arms up and not include the little bits of the tips of the heads.
Yeah.
And because, again, if you did this yourself, you'd probably go, okay, like, pick a horse here. Either are we including some heads or are we not?
Uh-huh.
But to just have like that tiny, tiny tops of a couple of heads seems like if we were critiquing each other, we'd say either get that out or include more. But it somehow works. And you never really think twice about it.
I like the fact that it's something that you discover. You probably didn't notice it in the record store.
Probably not.
And no. It was something that after a while you probably figured out, like, oh yeah, they got their heads there. It's not something that you look at their hands and
you look at the hands, yeah.
The watch. And the finger, hey, what time is it? What time is it, buddy? You know, is that a swatch? Is that what you're wearing? Which would have been, you know, right around the time period. But yeah, also just as an odd note, I know one of our listeners who's got in touch before was in a band. He's a musician. Was in a band in more than one band in Seattle back then. Opened for Pearl Jam a number of times before they were called Pearl Jam.
Cool.
So I was fascinated to find that out. I thought that was pretty cool. My next one is also Jim Morrison. The Doors, the Morrison Hotel.
Right.
Love it. I feel like this is the photographer was walking by one day and saw, oh, geez, maybe we should shoot the Doors here because of the name.
Yeah, I think that's all it was.
And they threw them in the front window, and just the composition is great. Like, everything is just so simple here. I bet you they didn't even light it. Or maybe they did. Maybe that reflection is a big softbox or something like that. I don't know.
Rooms from 250, though, do you think? Really?
Probably not the nicest hotel. probably not a Radisson, but, you know, good.
Yeah, like still that. Good.
Yeah. My next one, we're just kind of going in no particular order. Probably alphabetical,
right. I think
I've
covered most of mine. I think there might only be one more of mine left, so you go through yours.
There is. Okay, the Nirvana Nevermind cover.
Yes, very memorable.
Very memorable. Like, I mean, I think it would be cool to be that kid now. Like, how often do you think he drops that story at parties? I'm the Nevermind kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he probably has used it.
Let's go ahead and assume. Yeah, love that one. Next one I picked is a really strange one, is the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds.
Yes, I've never seen this album cover before.
If you crop the top, the font off of it, you would have no idea what you were looking at.
Yeah.
You would not think of it as the Beach Boys, but I mean, like, this is where I'm going to go ahead and just project what I think onto this. The Brian Wilson was, he was trying to go a different direction and basically take it away from their sort of pretend beach roots when they're, and their Everybody Feel Good music, to doing something different musically.
Right.
And so thus, I think they wanted to do just a complete left turn on the album cover to say, no, we're not the beach. There's no surfboards. There's no, you know, little GTOs or whatever's going on. We're going to get away from that. We're going to go, you know, obviously not the summertime based on what they're wearing, and they're feeding animals, you know. But it worked because it really is a departure from their normal sound. And it is a great album, and some of the songs on there, you know, a couple of the songs, well, definitely the first one, wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice, definitely. But that has kind of a more classic Beach Boys sound.
It does, because you remember it that way. It if you listen carefully, like the way the arrangements are, and it's a different genre than what the Beach Boys did, but you know it as Beach Boys. And they did it so well. Same with God Only Knows.
Yeah,
but, you know, tonally, thematically, different than Little Old Lady from Pasadena.
Right.
And one of my favorites is the folk song that they redid called Sloop John B. I love that song. Okay, my next one is might be my favorite album cover ever. Maybe it hit me right at the time when you're discovering, you know, music and that, but I think just photographically, it just represents everything you want, and that's Born in the USA, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, I had this one as well. I didn't put it in the folder because I saw that you already had it, but this is definitely one of the most memorable album covers of my growing up.
And that this would have been 1984, I think it came out. And definitely, I would say, a family-friendly kind of music and mm-hmm. in terms of, like, you know, your mom could like it, you would like it. Everybody liked this album. And even though he'd been around, like, this was his big breakout, I think, the album. But he'd been around for quite some time. You had to be cool to know who he was, and I definitely was not cool. So, also, I was 10.
Right.
But this says all you need to know about what's going on here. I mean, we get the part of the American flag in the background, the jeans, the white shirt, and the baseball, the red baseball hat, you know, in the back pocket. Like, this is mm-hmm. perfect, you know. And again, very, very, very not much going on here, but tells you
who puts a baseball cap in their back pocket.
After this, everybody did.
Apparently, yeah.
1985 was a big year for baseball hats in the back pocket, especially brim first. Who put the brim in? You didn't do it because they just ruin it. But I'm sure Ashton Kutcher did it at this point. Yeah. Let's go back to yours. Do you have one that I hadn't thought of, but yet I should have? Is Bryan Adams reckless?
Yeah, that's the. I had to throw in a Canadiana one because he's our Canadian pride, and this is my favorite album cover of all the Bryan Adams albums. There's another one, Waking Up the Neighbors, that I like too, where he's got the megaphone and he's kind of leaning back. But this one, I think is more memorable, just and just because of the lighting. I like the lighting, and I thought photographically, yeah, this photo kind of stands out. All the intensity of the eyes and the way the light is all kind of, you know, basically aimed at his eyes. It's something about it that really pops out to me. Not that this would be a difficult photo to reproduce either. I think the lighting is very simple, but it's powerful.
It is, and if you look at like his collar and on both sides, this might be a dragging the shutter situation. Like you look with like just behind his right ear.
Yeah, it's not sharp. Yeah,
so it could be some motion there, which I never noticed before. Not something you went as a 12-year-old kid who was listening to. Like I listened to this album about a million times.
Yeah,
this was the one. I'm pretty sure it was this. This was the summer that. Like you sort of again discovered your own music. Like your parents weren't listening to Bryan Adams, and like all the kids, or that was it. Bryan Adams was the big deal. And then later on, I found out that the rest of the like England, they call him the Groover from Vancouver. Did you know that?
Yeah. I did know that.
I did not know until I went to Australia, and he's gone on to be quite a photographer himself.
Yes, so, he is. Yeah,
there you go. But yeah, definitely iconic. And I remember listening to this album over and over and over that summer. You know, like all my friends had it. I think on cassette tape in that brief window when you would buy cassette tapes.
Mm-hmm.
So again, even worse format for the album cover is the cassette tape. Okay, my last two. One is Thriller by Michael Jackson, just because I think every single person owned this album.
Yes, I and again, it is a neat photo too. I do,
especially
because like
it opened up. Wasn't the one that it opened up onto the back?
Yeah. And wasn't there a picture like a white tiger or something?
There was a tiger involved, and also he had autographed it. Like there's a print of his autograph. So like, I think it was a big deal for young girls and I'm not joking. They would basically mimic his autograph. I know Michael Jackson's autograph. That was big thing, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I remember some girls in my school bragging that they knew Michael Jackson's autograph.
Yeah, I think when you opened up the album, there was something with a white tiger. I have that memory anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yep, absolutely. I remember that as well. And that's kind of what we're talking about in terms of memorable. And plus that whole kind of glow, that early 80s kind of... the outfit, everything like that. Just like there's no confusing when this was taken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, geez, was this 1965 or 94?
Yeah.
No, you know exactly when. And my last one is memorable just because it is crazy weird and basically got pulled. They reshot this and released it with a different cover. It's the Beatles' Yesterday and Today.
Yeah, and I have no memory of this album cover.
I know it because it's weird. My parents didn't have this. It's one of those ones that sort of it's become folklore. And so this is the one with the baby, the doll's heads removed and the butcher, like all the cuts of meat. And they're wearing the lab coats. And it is just, what were they thinking?
Yeah, it's off-putting. And I'm not surprised that I've never seen this.
Right. No, and I don't blame them for pulling this and re-releasing it, but I can't imagine this would be moving a lot of units in the stores, you know?
I don't think so. It doesn't seem to be their target audience, their demographic. This seems like a death metal type album cover. Yeah.
It does. So to sum up, you know, what makes a good album cover? Well, it could be anything. I mean, the photos could be staged. They could be candid, like your Neil Diamond choice, you know? Or it could be staged candid, like you have a stage situation and somebody does something, you know, candid in that moment, and that oftentimes makes it. But ultimately, you know, whatever's going to engage people, you know, not just to buy the album, but also to sort of experience the music later on. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but when we used to listen to albums, or my parents would or whatever, the album would be sitting on top of the record player, mm-hmm. like sort of propped up as if, you know, hey, like there's a visual component to this music as well. And so it should all tie in. Are there props involved? Are there, you know, what kind of colors, wardrobe? These are all things that go into the thought process of what makes a great album cover photo. That leads us to next week's challenge.
Okay.
Summer nights. No, just kidding. Album covers.
Okay.
We're going to shoot our own. Now, you can if you want. I wasn't suggesting that we recreate an album cover. I think we should. I'm suggesting we do our own just from scratch.
I feel like I would have done what I did with Sarah last week, so I'm done.
Well, no, this week's, both of our photos, I think, sort of have an album cover aspect to them.
Sure.
But that's kind of what made me think of this topic.
Okay.
So, no, you're going to redo it. Don't go All just right. do the red thing. So, here you go, phone it in. So, yeah, that's it. Next week's challenge is album cover. So, Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca and also sometimes on Facebook. How about your stuff?
AlanAtridge.com or the2hosers.com, where you can find everything you want to know. I don't think we're going to post all the album covers. You're going to have to go do your own Google search. I don't know how the rights work on that.
Yeah.
So just go ahead and you can find them yourself, or possibly you already know them.
I think a lot of them people might know, and if they are interested in any of the specific ones, they can be found in about 3.5 seconds on Google.
Yeah, if that long. Yeah, if you're slow, it'll happen.
Yeah, if you type like I do.
If you're on dial-up and type like Adam, then yeah, it's 3.5 seconds. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.